Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the genealogy of Jesus as we pick up in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Let's get into the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector in Capernaum before he was called by Jesus Christ to be a disciple. He was also called Levi. And he opens his gospel by giving to us the genealogy of Jesus Christ back to Abraham. As he said in chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, the Lord had promised to Abraham, through thy seed shall all of the nations of the earth be blessed. By that was understood that from Abraham's seed, the Messiah would come, the one who would be a blessing to all of the nations of the earth. So anyone who would seek to lay claim as the Messiah would first of all have to be able to prove that he was a descendant of Abraham, because God had made that special promise to Abraham. Later on, God promised to David that he would build David's house and that his seed would sit upon the throne forever. And from that promise, David understood that God was promising that the Messiah should come through his line, through his genealogy. And after David, there were many prophecies that referred to the Messiah as the branch out of the root of Jesse. And of course, he is referred to as sitting upon the throne of David. So it would be necessary for one who would seek to lay claim to being the Messiah to be able to prove that he is a descendant both of Abraham and also of David. Now, it is interesting to me that no longer do the Jews have any accurate genealogical records so that there is not a Jew in the world today who can actually prove by the genealogical records that he is a descendant of David. They have lost all of their books of generations. But no problem, because the Messiah has already come. And Matthew points out here that he does fulfill both of the requirements, being a son of Abraham and a son of David. And so he seeks to trace Jesus back to David and to Abraham. You say, but wait a minute. Is not this the genealogy of Joseph? And if Jesus was virgin born, then why would it be necessary to trace Joseph's genealogy? And it is true when we get to verse 16, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Notice that it does not say that Joseph was the father of Jesus, but he was the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now, you are familiar with the fact that in the New Testament, we have another line of genealogy that traces the genealogy of Christ back to Adam. And as you read the genealogies in Matthew and in Luke, you'll find that there are differences in the genealogies. In Matthew's genealogy, we are tracing the line of Jesus back to David through Solomon. But as you read Luke's genealogy, you'll find that it traces the genealogy, actually not of Joseph, but of Mary. She also goes back to David and to Abraham, but she comes through the son Nathan of David. So that Mary also was of the tribe of Judah and a descendant of David, but not through Solomon and his line, but through David's other son, Nathan, and his line. But in Matthew's gospel, Joseph is actually a descendant of David through the kingly line. And as you read the kings of Judah, you find that they are listed in the descendants of Joseph, and actually he was of the royal seed of David, and as such, an heir to the throne in Israel. However, there is a real problem to Joseph being king in Israel, because his line goes back through the kings of Israel, which includes Jeconiah, of whom the Lord cursed through Jeremiah the prophet, saying that none of his seed would sit upon the throne of Israel forever. So that kingly line that came through Solomon was disallowed from sitting on the throne because of Jeconiah's sin. So that Jesus, being the son of Mary, still has a claim to the throne of David, but not through Jeconiah, who was cursed as not being able to rule, or any of his descendants to rule upon the throne. So if Jesus were the son of Joseph, he could not reign upon the throne of David because of that curse in Jeremiah 22. But being the son of David through Nathan and through a different line, he has the right to the throne coming from Mary. And yet, as far as the Jewish nation would be concerned, they would recognize Joseph as the kingly line, and thus the eldest son of Joseph, considered to be the eldest son of Joseph, though he was born of the Holy Spirit, would then have a right to the throne. So the Lord put the two things together, and it's quite fascinating the way it happened. Now, there are some interesting things, and I told you can skip the first 17 verses because reading these names can become laborious to a person who is not familiar with the names, and you spend your whole time just trying to pronounce them, and they become rather meaningless. But rarely were women named in the genealogical lines. But in tracing Joseph back, there are four women that are mentioned. And it is interesting to me the four women that are mentioned, because they were not, with the exception of one, really virtuous kind of women. The first woman that is mentioned is Tamar. And in verse 3, Judah begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. Now, Judah had a son who married Tamar, but he died before he had any children. So his brother did what was the accepted thing in that culture. He took her as his wife, but he also died before he had any children. Now, Judah had another son, and it was the obligation of the other son to marry her and to raise up a seed, a descendant. But Judah, having had two sons die as a result, I don't know the result of her cooking, but I mean, he was suspicious anyhow, was not willing to let the third son marry her, and he kept stalling her. He says, oh, he's too young, you know, he's too immature, and, you know, and he kept stalling her off until it became quite obvious to her that Judah had no intention of allowing his third son to marry her. So she put on the attire of a prostitute and sat in the path. And when Judah came by, he propositioned her, which she accepted. And she said, what will you give me? He said, I'll give you a goat out of my flock. She said, well, you don't have it with you. He said, well, I'll give you my ring as a guarantee, and I'll send the goat back. And so he went in unto her. She had a veil on. He didn't recognize her. And she became pregnant by Judah. Now, when word came out to Judah, Tamar, your daughter-in-law, is pregnant, he said, put her to death. The next day, the servant came back with the goat. And the gal was gone. And so he said to the people around there, where's the prostitute was sitting here? He said, there's no prostitute here. So the fellow came back to Judah and said, hey, I couldn't find her, you know. I still got the goat. Judah said, oh, well, let it go. Well, when he found out Tamar was pregnant and ordered her to be put to death, then Tamar sent the ring and she said, the man who owns this ring is the one responsible for me being pregnant. And so Judah was trapped. But isn't it interesting that Tamar appears in the lineage of the royal seed of David? That God has chosen Tamar with these untoward circumstances. The second is Rahab. Now, when the children of Israel were ready to come into the land that God had promised them, the first city that they came to was Jericho. And they sent spies into Jericho to take a look at the defenses and all. And when the people of Jericho realized that there were spies within their city from the Israelites, they sought to find them to put them to death. But Rahab, who was a prostitute, hid them under some sheaves on her roof. And then she let them down over the wall, saying, please, when you take the city, spare my family and myself. And so they said, you let this scarlet cord hang down, and when we take the city, everyone that's in your house will be saved. So the city of Jericho was taken, but they respected Rahab, who had sheltered the spies, and those that were within her house were not killed. They were spared. Rahab then married Boaz, what we know as Boaz, who was, of course, the one who married Ruth, the Moabitess. And Ruth is the third one that is mentioned. Now, Rahab does not come from the line of Israel, but she was of Jericho, a Canaanitess, a prostitute that the Lord also put in the line. The next one mentioned is that of Ruth, who was a Moabitess, who were under an eternal curse of God. A Moabite could not come into the temple of the Lord to the 10th generation or forever, as God had placed the curse on Moab. And yet, by the grace of God, Ruth became the wife of Boaz, whose son was Obed, whose son was Jesse, whose son was King David. And so God brought Ruth, the Moabitess, into the line. And then the fourth woman that is mentioned is that one, and it doesn't name her, but we know who she is, who was the wife of Urias. So Bathsheba is the fourth woman that is brought into the record, and she is the one who had the illegitimate relationship with David, whose husband was subsequently put to death by a conspiracy of David, and then became David's wife, and from her was born Solomon, who became the king over Israel. And the line comes through Solomon. So the Lord has put into the genealogy of the line of Joseph these four women in order to display the grace of God, in order that any of us, through our failures, can still identify with God's plan of grace and love for man. None of us are excluded. God has already included in his program people who had made a mess out of their lives, people who had had great personal failures in their lives, people who had immoral stains in their lives, and still God used them in his total plan. And thus it encourages us who also have stains, who also have failures, that God can still use us in his plan. And so to me, it's exciting to see the inclusion that God makes in this line coming to Christ. Now, Matthew divides the generations, 14 from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the carrying away into Babylonian captivity, and 14 from the Babylonian captivity unto the time of Christ. However, it is quite obvious that Matthew has left out some of the names so that it is in order that he might set them in three couplets of seven, but deliberately leaving out some of the names. And some of the names that are left out, which are quite obvious, in verse 8, Ahaziah, if you go back in the record in Chronicles, you'll find that Ahaziah, Joash, and Amaziah are left out. Who were Ahaziah, Joash, and Amaziah? They were the sons of Athaliah, who was the daughter of Jezebel and Ahab, that wicked king and queen of the northern kingdom whose sin actually sealed the fate of the northern kingdom. And Athaliah had sought to kill all of the royal seed of David. But one of the children escaped and, of course, later became king. But the descendants of Athaliah are left out of this record, and I'm certain deliberately so by Matthew. There are other omissions, but the purpose of Matthew was to set it up in 14 generations, and surely it was deliberate. I cannot believe that Matthew just made a mistake, but it was a deliberate omission on Matthew's part in writing the genealogy, because he has the same records that we have of the Old Testament, and he knows good and well these other names fit in there, but he deliberately omitted them. And if you want to make a study of the omissions and those persons omitted, I'm sure that you can find the reasons why Matthew chose to omit those names. Now we get in verse 16, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So this is the little transition verse. It's a necessary transition verse because he is giving the genealogy to Abraham to show that he comes from Abraham and from David, but yet Jesus Christ was not born of Joseph. And he is going to explain that in just a moment. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ happened like this. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, that is, before they had had physical intercourse, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. Now, Luke's gospel gives to us a little further enlightenment of how that the angel Gabriel came to Mary and informed her of the process when she said, how can these things be? Seeing I have not had relations with a man, the angel told her the process by which the child would be born. And we'll study that when we get to the Gospel of Luke.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Matthew on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Matthew 1 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and bless you and strengthen you for this week. May the anointing of God's Holy Spirit rest upon your life. And through His beauty, may your life shine forth. May God cause fullness of His Spirit to rest upon you. And may your life be a strong testimony and a witness to those around of the grace and the love of our Lord. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Do you want to know a great story about gang members, drug addicts, mental patients, society's rejects, and how God turned their lives around to use them mightily? It's all right here in the book Harvest. Join Pastor Chuck Smith as he tells the story of how God transformed the lives of 10 men to reach the world. Read the testimonies of Greg Laurie, Raul Reese, Mike McIntosh, John Corson, Skip Heitzik, and others, and see for yourself that if God can use these guys to spread the gospel worldwide, then God can use you too. To read a sneak preview of the book online, visit thewordfortoday.org or call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD. I want to encourage you to check it out. This just might be the book to change a life of a loved one or even you. Visit thewordfortoday.org.